WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. The Pulitzer Prize-winning play, A Soldier's Play, felt relevant when it debuted on Broadway at the beginning of the year, even though it was written 40 years ago, about a time 80 years ago. And right now, it is feeling even more relevant. The play takes place on a segregated Louisiana Army base in the early 1940s. Within the first few moments of the play, a black sergeant is murdered while drunkenly yelling, "They still hate us." The investigation into his death, and in some ways the non-investigation, confronts truths about power, racism, intra-racism, and self-determination. This year, A Soldier's Play was nominated for 3 Drama Desk Awards, including Outstanding Revival of Play. The virtual award ceremony will happen this Saturday, June 13th. Also, the play's director, Kenny Leon, will be part of a live stream panel tonight, moderated by the New York Times' Wesley Morris, about the experience of being black on Broadway. A few months ago, we talked with actors Blair Underwood and Jerry O'Connell, as well as Namdi Osamuah, who joined us about halfway through the conversation. I started by asking Blair what this play was about beyond just the plot.
Because it's set in the 40s, there's a nice disconnect we have as an audience. But it is about the interracial relationships. I'm glad that Jerry and I get to do this interview together because we have a lot of scenes together. But it's also about the intra-racial dynamics, primarily through David Alan Greer's character, Sergeant Waters, who is murdered in the play. That sets up the action, as you said. But the self-loathing and the self-hatred that you see primarily through this character is what's so fascinating about it. It's what I think people globbed onto in the 80s. It's what's the detractors. I just kind of learned that yesterday, reading Charles Fuller's interview in the New York Times yesterday, saying that there were detractors, Amira Baraka being one at the time, who said, you know, he didn't like the idea that we were putting that on Front Street, the hatred that we can have within our own culture. But you see it. You see it in all of its the warts and all.
So Captain Davenport arrives to investigate the murder of Sergeant Waters. And Captain Davenport has a certain determination about him, about his work, about how he expects to be treated. What is behind his determination, the way you've created Captain Davenport?
You know, the beauty of live theater is that you learn something new every day. People say that, but you find something new every day, especially if it's something well written. I would tell you, we've been running this for 4 weeks. And, you know, you do backstory and you kind of figure out what you're doing, what the character's doing. In terms of the motivation, 2 performances ago, I'm on the stage and I'm watching David Alan Greer just rail against Southern Negroes. He has contempt for the shucking and jiving Negroes, and he wants to do away with them. And it just hit me. I said, you know, because I had been really just kind of working on the disdain I have for black people like that, who have the audacity to put down other people, black people. And I said, you know what? What if my, and I'm thinking this on stage because you've seen the play. A lot of the second act, I'm just on stage watching and listening. It's like a phantom kind of going in and out of the time frame and space-time continuum changing, going back in time. And I said, I wonder if my father, Davenport's father, was one of those Southern Negroes who wasn't as intelligent, who, when we have a scene on stage, when Sergeant Waters is talking about, my daddy used to say, don't talk like this, talk like that. Don't live here, live there. And all of a sudden, I was like, my dad said that to me. And therefore, that's why I went so hard at being intelligent and being educated and fighting the system. So what it did 2 performances ago helped me put a whole nother personal layer into the disdain for him. And it drove a whole other level of deep emotion at the very end of the play, because Davenport is fighting, not just generally speaking. And I, you know, our work is to find the specifics, so I've been doing that. But you discover new things, new ways to approach a scene or a moment. And it was just a nice, very interesting layer that just kind of helped take it even deeper for the character.
What does your character think of Davenport? And how does that change over the course of the play?
I think my character is very frustrated with Blair's character thinking he can change the way things are. There's a really chilling moment where I tell Blair's character very early on, and I'm warning him. It's so funny. I infuse a little bit of a threat in there because it's at the beginning and it's obviously a murder mystery, but I'm really playing it as a warning. And I go, listen, people down here don't respect the colored. And Blair's character, Davenport, looks at me and goes, I know that. And it's you can feel in the audience. And then we change it up and then we get into something, you know? And what I try to do with my character is, I mean, show, I don't want to say an ignorance, but just sort of, he doesn't know how rude he's being.
He's a man of his time.
And that was of the time.
Right?
And that was of the time. And I have to say, it took a while for me to get there. Yeah. It took a while for me to get there.
But you got there.
It took a while for me to get there.
Well, I have to tell you,
it's still difficult for me to say, because, you know, now I'm not only saying it in a rehearsal hall with Blair and Mr. Leon and a few people from the roundabout, and now I'm saying it with about 800 people in a room, and it's still very difficult, but it's my job.
I saw the play with a friend who had seen it early on and commented on how much better you were. Said that you were so likable, that there was a likability about you early on, that not that you weren't likable, but that it was, I guess, likable. He was like, you know, it was like he was really good this time. Like I got that he was really in the character this time.
Right. Well, during the preview process for me, I had a bit of a curve too, because you know, a play is very, you preview about 20 performances. And when I say preview, that's the, I guess it's a preseason, for lack of a better term, before you open. And you're still getting notes every day. We're still rehearsing every day. And I really turned it up a little bit during our previews. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Our director, Mr. Leon, is just immensely talented. He said to us early on, this is going to be the most important thing you work on, and he was absolutely right.
Absolutely.
Now, Blair, your dad was an Army colonel?
Mm-hmm.
How much did that experience, being his son, how did that help you with this role, if at all?
Shameless plug, all of it.
Thank you.
That's right. It's the name of the show, right?
It
all
is,
of it, that's right.
Thank you.
No, definitely. You know, I was asked, how much did you talk to your father about, you know, this role and this piece? And I said, actually, not much, because I lived the life. I lived it through, you know, watching and observing him. I did ask him certain, of course, eventually, just to get his perspective on it. But, you know, well, in every way possible. I mean, this performance is dedicated to him and my mother, because when our service men and women now serve overseas and fight for this country, the family serves as well, you know, and you feel in the absence of that person, and what they fight for on behalf of us and for the country. So you know, what I grew up in a family that understood sacrifice for country, something bigger than yourself, honor and duty and country, and I hold that dear to this day. It's one of the moments I love most, and I love so many moments in this play, but the final moment, actually during the curtain call, when we're all saluting as an ensemble to the audience, and Kenny Leon said this, he said, that moment is about saying that we love our country, but we also love ourselves, and there's a lot to mine and explore and to express about ourselves as black human beings and black men who fight on behalf of this country. It's a very specific story. And that's the specific life I had growing up on military bases.
Have you had any?
Now, hold on a second. I have to just interject. We all had to go to boot camp a little bit for this play. I mean, because we have to do military moves, turns, salutes. What limited law school experience I have, I had even less military experience. And I got to tell you, I thought I could salute. Everyone can salute, right? my salute needed so much work and practice. I mean, I'm not kidding. Hours at home in front of the mirror.
What was up with your salute?
The angle of my hand, my fingers, where it touched my eyebrow. I'm not even kidding. These are precision things that when military people come to our show, it means a lot, especially where your hand is.
Yeah.
Off the bat. And by the way, I wasn't the only one. A few of us had. You know, we have some dancers in our group. Like, we're not a I think Blair had the most military experience in our entire cast. But his salutes from the get-go, they were tight. They were tight. That's and we would funny. All be like, man, Blair has the crispest salutes.
I never heard this. That's
the first week, we were all in front of a mirror just saluting continually over and over and over again. And it was, I mean, your salutes were always tight.
Appreciate that. That's from watching my dad. But I have to tell you, the New York Times did a very nice piece on my dad and his service in the play and all that. And I went home to Petersburg, Virginia, Monday of this week, and I brought him the hard copies. He's looking at the picture again, and he told me this the first time he saw the picture of us saluting together. He said, first of all, he was excited. He said, I made the New York Times. And I'd sent him the electronic version a week before, but it's not the same.
Not the same.
From his generation, especially, holding it in his hand. And he said, so that salute, you should cup your hand a little bit more. So I was like, all right, Dad, I got you.
Have you had military members, black and white, respond to the play, respond to you?
We have, but we have a military night coming up. I think almost the full audience is going to be military.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
But no, we definitely have had that.
What's the feedback like?
Well, you know, it's very moving. You know, I didn't see this, but again, two nights ago, I had some friends come backstage and they said, you know, right in front of us on the very front row, you may have seen this, there were some veterans. And when we saluted that moment at the curtain call, they sat down because they're very elderly and they, like three of them, they sat there and they saluted back to us. I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't see that. That would have messed up. So they understand that we're giving the utmost respect to them, their individual and their collective service to our country.
My guests are Blair Underwood and Jerry O'Connell. We're talking about Soldier's Play. Can we bring in one of your co-stars?
Yeah, is Nam Dizzle here?
Namdi Asamoah. He plays a soldier named Melvin Peterson in this production, but you also may know him from Friday Night's Lights, as well as his career in the NFL. Namdi, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So this is your Broadway debut, right?
It is, yes.
What's been unexpected about the experience?
The audience, I think, has been very unexpected. It's, you know, depending on the day, you know the type of energy that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And the moment you think you've figured it out, then they throw you for a loop again. So it's not quite a challenge, I would say. I think you go into every show, you know, just wanting to be in truth. But there is a sort of energy that you get from the audience just because you're breathing that same air. And it always shocks you. You never know what's going to land for them or how they're receiving it. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're silent, are they receiving it in a different way than if they were laughing or if they're crying? So I think that's been the thing for me.
Kenny's been here before. He was here for American Son. Mm-hmm. He was here for Shakespeare in the Park last summer.
Oh, nice. And
one thing we talked about is, Jerry, you may have noticed our people talk back to the stage sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
And we always know when we're in the theater.
And one of the things about, you know, during American Sons specifically, there were some very tense moments, and I asked him how he talked to his actors about what to do when you have an audience that is so engaged, that wants to express themselves. Did you guys have conversations like that? How is it for you when people decide that they really need to be part of it?
A little bit. I mean, he's said some things here and there. I think, you know, sometimes there's a moment where David Alan Greer, who plays Sergeant Waters, he gets, you know, obviously he's murdered, and that's the basis of really the story. And the point where it happens at the end, there's a big gunshot, and then there's a second one. I remember one day when it went off, some people in the audience started laughing. And that's, it was so strange. And you know, and talking to Kenny about that, he's just like, you know, people are going to react differently. Sometimes it's discomfort and people laugh in their discomfort. But there's been a myriad of, I mean, there's been so many different reactions that you can't really spend too much time on in your head. And you just have to live in truth, I think.
You know, I did a play like 8 years ago, and it was a very dramatic play. It was Streetcar Named Desire. And I was really thrown by a lot of the laughter in that play in particular. And what I realized, there's a lot of insulting. It's almost like, it's not Three's Company, but you have three people that live in the same place. A lot of insulting. And our audiences oftentimes would find so much laughter in that. And it really bothered me at the point. And I had to kind of really try to analyze. And I talked to, really professionals who and comedians who track audiences and our culture. And I ended up going back to the dozens. You know, your mama's so fat, or your mama's this, your mama's that. And one of the ways we show, you know, David Alan Greer is a brilliant dramatic actor, but also a brilliant comedic actor. He's always on Namdi, always teasing him. But that's how we show love. You know, and I had to kind of come to understand that. Very quickly, one of the things Kenny said about this play in particular is that don't fall in the trap. And it is a trap.
When people are laughing,
to lean into that and start feeding. Because, you know, it's all about timing. Yeah. And if you know that time, if you time it right, it's going to get a laugh. You can continue to do that when that scene is not about laughter.
Yes.
So he said, don't think because people are laughing that they love you.
He says people will laugh and applaud bad acting because they aren't used to good acting or great acting. You know, sometimes he says sometimes when you see the truth, you're silent in that and you'll applaud what you think is, you know, a joke.
Out of recognition. Yeah. Like, that's the rhythm of this is funny. And
You know what I noticed? When that gunshot went off and there was a little bit of laughter, which rarely happens.
Remember that?
Of course. I was like, what the hell? But immediately in my mind, I thought somebody probably grabbed somebody next to them when it went off and somebody's like, what are you doing? You know, I don't know if that happened or not, but in my mind, I said, because it had never happened before. I said, why are they laughing? But it makes sense because people physically, they jump and they're startled that can elicit any kind of emotion.
It's really interesting for me. My character of Taylor is very frustrated at Blair coming to the fort and basically giving me orders. And if I find that the audience is a little dismissive of the importance of the situation, I actually use it to become angrier at Blair's character.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I've heard it.
That's interesting.
I use it in a way. When Blair and I have a scene, and it's one of the early scenes where I tell him, hey, you know what? You're not going to be able to do anything with this case because of your race.
Sure,
and that's
sure,
that.
Sure, sure.
And just get out of here. It's never going to work out. And Blair's character gets up and says, your orders are to do what I tell you to do. And I do want to say there's silence there. And there was a woman last night in the front row who went,
That's right.
I do have to say, I feel a tremendous sense of pride when that happens. Yeah. So I do want to say,
that's great.
There is interaction that I do enjoy.
One of the things, Dominique Mariso is one of my favorite playwrights. You got to have her on the show if you haven't had her on the show yet. But she writes something in all of her programs. She's an African-American writer from Detroit. She says, this is how we go to church. We are
that's
verbal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we respond. Right. So the oomphs and the grunts, I prefer that because I know you're listening. So it's not about that, but it's just the inappropriate laughter sometimes.
But a lot of theater audiences, you know, that have sort of been groomed in the theater world don't like that. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing, you know, it's like is it frowned upon or something? Do you know what I mean?
It absolutely is by some.
Yeah, but just you should be silent. You should respect the stage, and I don't. It's church. It's like you said. It's church. We enjoy it.
What have you learned since this is your Broadway debut from working with these two gentlemen and working with this cast that you maybe hadn't thought about acting before?
Jerry gives a different performance every day, and I love that. You know, I love watching him work because there's this sort of, you know, when he comes out there, I don't know, I don't know Jerry's history to know if there's a strong comedic background like I know David's is. Mm-hmm. But when Jerry's out there, you know, it's almost like every other thing, you know, people start laughing or there's a funny thing that he does. And then the next performance is different. It's almost like he's saying, no, that's not what I was trying to get out of that moment. I'm going to live in it a different way. And it's been great to watch because I think the first scene out there, I'm with Jerry. You know, there's the other guys out there. And he's attacked that scene differently every time. I don't know if it's conscious or not. You know, there's a point when he'll like run over to the guy over there who's blaming it on the Klan. There's a point where he'll calmly go over to him He's blaming on, you know, it's just different things. And I'll be in my dressing room. I'll be getting ready, and I'll be listening. And I'm not listening to hear it. I'm getting ready, but I hear it in the background. But I hear the way he changes up his words and his intentions and everything like that. And so that's been really huge for me, just as far as learning. You know, this is my second play, and just seeing seeing how people can do it differently every time and keep it fresh, I think, is important. And then Blair, I mean, I tell him, like, this is, he's my coach, my mentor. You know, he's, I really do believe he's one of the, I'm not just saying this, national treasures that we have as actors. And I'm not just saying it because he's so, I'm telling you, I was watching, I turned the channel, it was maybe like a month ago. And you were being horrible to this woman. I can't remember what movie this was. You like yelled at her as your wife, and then you went outside at nighttime. But I don't know what it was. And you probably said, and he just so seamlessly is able to go from film to TV to theater, and it is not an easy thing to do, and still give great performances. I don't think I've ever seen him give a dishonest performance in the history of my, you know, watching him do work. So it's just, you know, I'm honored to be getting coached by this man, you know, every day, and just to be sharing the stage with him. I really do think, I'm not blowing smoke up on these guys. This is, it's a tremendous cast all around, and it's, you know, it's been great to learn from.
All right, because you said the word coach, I'm going to ask you about football.
Oh, there you go.
You gave me
that's
the entry.
Terminology. I don't know. What should I have said?
No, but it's interesting. When you said it twice, I thought, well, you know, that was your first career. That was a huge part of your life.
I have an affinity for good coaching, you know.
What makes a good coach?
A listener, I think. Someone that knows that not every person learns the same way. Someone that's able to sort of... you know, just like I said, teach one guy a certain way and get it out of him, and then go to the next person and teach them a certain way and get it out of them, you know, and just find those different levels. I think that makes a really good coach. I think we have that in Kenny Leon. I think he coaches us all very differently, and he's able to pull things out of us that I don't think we didn't know we had. And obviously Blair, you know, I said that because Blair is the one guy, and I'm so, I wish people knew this more about me, is how much I want to be coached, you know, but Blair has taken, he's seen it somehow, I don't know how, he realized that I wanted to be coached, and he's come up to me, you know, throughout the process, you know, and just said, look, okay, this moment, it's, you know, it's totally honest. I think you're doing a wonderful job. Now, so you're on the stage, just turn the other way because the audience needs to see you. You know, there's not a camera here. You know, and just little technical things like that, you know, that I would never know. I've never done this, you know. And so it's, you know, so I say coach because I look to him, I ask him, give me something else. What else am I doing that I can fix? You know, that sort of thing.
Can I just say, and I'll say this brief, man, thank you for saying what you said, Nandi.
It's the truth.
You know, Nandi just said every coach is a good listener. I think every student is a good listener. I am utterly respectful, and Nandi would tell you before I would say anything, I'm respectful of Kenny Leon and the director. Whatever the director says, go.
That's right.
Goes. But, you know, I've been doing this for a minute, and Nandi is so brilliant at what he's doing, and watching the growth from, like, the first table read to what he's doing now. It's really phenomenal to watch. So I'm chomping at the bit. And it's a cardinal sin for an actor, unless you're the director, to speak to another actor about anything, unless they ask for it. So I came
Is that
first
true?
Time.
Is that
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I came very respectfully and said, if you don't mind, because what you're doing is great, but I just see something. If you just try it. Yeah.
But you're looking out for him.
Yeah. That's, well, yeah, because he's doing great work. So if you just do that, it'll be even
Blair,
stronger.
I walked up to you in the middle of that thing, and I went, what am I missing in this speech? Do you recall this?
Oh, yeah. No,
I said, what am I missing here? Something is happening. Oh, they were laughing at a point, and I went, what do I do? Yep. And you said, take out that pause right there. Yep. And I did it the next night. I mean, I'll tell you, this is a very, Soldier's Play is a very different experience than anything I've ever worked on. We're all working. I mean, if we're going to make a sports analogy, we're all working as one team.
That's
one
right.
unit.
Yeah. That's
all
right.
of us.
That's
it's,
right.
It's really, it's like no other experience I've ever had.
I feel the same
way. We have another month of performances. I'm really trying to live every performance, every day in the present, because in 30 yeah, days, it's going to be over, and all we're going to have is one text chain, and that will be it.
That's right. And different from...
I'm serious.
And different from film and television in that those live on forever. This just becomes a memory.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, I've got the play that I did last year, and I'm just like, oh, I don't even... I'm starting to lose...
It's over.
Yeah, you're forgetting a little bit, yeah, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
That was my conversation with actors Blair Underwood, Jerry O'Connell, and Namde Asomugha from A Soldier's Play, which is nominated for 3 Drama Desk Awards. You can watch the ceremony this Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at DramaDeskAwards.com and on Spectrum News, New York 1.